From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. Debbie Elliott is on assignment. This weekend, events in the Muslim world once again capture our attention. We'll hear from Afghanistan and Turkey, but first, Iraq, where thousands of U.S. troops are searching for three American soldiers apparently captured in an ambush. An al-Qaeda-linked group called the Islamic State in Iraq says it's holding the soldiers. Also today, massive bombings claimed at least 67 lives in Baghdad and the north. I spoke earlier about U.S. efforts to stop the bloodshed with David Kilcullen, the senior counterinsurgency advisor to the U.S. commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus. Kilcullen, a retired Australian Army officer, admits hundreds of different armed groups, Sunni and Shiite, are operating in Iraq. Among them, he says, al-Qaeda in Iraq, or AQI, is public enemy number one.
AQI will move into an area, they'll set up a safe house or a bomb-making factory. They'll intimidate the population, often by killing innocent Sunni locals. And then they'll go and do an attack on the Shia community in a neighboring district. That will then provoke a response and a death squad activity, which will come in and kill innocent Sunni members of the community. And then the cycle goes around and around again in a vicious cycle. By cutting the al-Qaeda engine, if you like, out of that cycle, we can dramatically reduce the amount of violence that's happening in the society.
This past week, General Benjamin Mixon, the U.S. commander in northern Iraq, said that he doesn't have enough troops in Diyala province, which is increasingly violent, as you know. By concentrating U.S. forces in Baghdad, which is the current surge strategy, isn't the enemy simply moving elsewhere?
Well, it's important to remember what the general actually said. He said two things in that interview. One was that he felt that he didn't have enough troops. And the other was, he said, but I have a plan for how to deal with the situation. And his troops are, in fact, dealing quite effectively with the environment up there. But I think your general point is correct. What the enemy have done is they've seen that we've moved primarily into Baghdad and the belts around Baghdad, and we've tried to secure the population where they live. And so their response has been to go elsewhere and try and spike the violence in other parts of the country. And that's a deliberate ploy on the enemy's part to try and drag us away from our focus on securing the population in Baghdad. But we can't allow ourselves to be knocked off our strategic purpose by enemy action.
But I want to pick up on today's news, the thousands of troops searching for the captured soldiers around Mahmoudiya. And I wonder, when you have thousands of troops who go in search of missing comrades, this happened last year as well, doesn't that reduce troop strength where you need it elsewhere?
Well, I don't want to comment on the details of that current operation for a couple of sort of security reasons, but let me just say that we do maintain force reserves that are able to deploy and move about the country to react to something like this without necessarily denuding a given area. But also, there are benefits that come from flooding an area, if you like, for a temporary period to really send a message to the population and bring them to our side.
As you know, there's been a great deal of talk on Capitol Hill about benchmarks for the Iraqi political leadership, deadlines for U.S. troop withdrawals. Republicans are now saying that we should wait until General Petraeus files his report in September. And as his primary advisor, I'd like to ask how he'll be measuring progress.
Well, you know, thank God all I have to worry about is al-Qaeda and the Iraqi insurgents, which is a much less complex and threatening environment than possibly back in Washington. But let me just say, we are going to know by the end of the summer how things are turning out. And I think we've all been very clear that we're not going to put spin on this. We're not going to pretend that it's working if it's not. And I think what we're going to do is to be looking at things like the overall level of violence, particularly the number of civilian casualties from all causes, and how that is tracking over time. We're going to be looking at whether we've managed to make a dent in al-Qaeda's ability to operate in Iraq. We're going to be looking at social and economic measures to see whether people are actually getting on with their lives. But I think it would be wrong to say now, oh, these are the sort of four or five metrics that we're going to use. It's much more complicated than that. We have to come to a series of judgments that allow us to say, all right, are we in fact meeting the requirement of what the Iraqi people need and what the Iraqi government expects of us. I mean, and General Petraeus has said this a number of times, that the critical action here is political reconciliation. And, you know, there is movement on that.
What specifically have they done? There are so many reports of frustration over failure to enact the oil law, for example.
Well, a couple of things. Prime Minister Maliki came back from the Sharm el-Sheikh conference with a five-point plan which showed a high degree of commitment to moving forward on reconciliation agenda, on the key legislative issues, and on rearranging some of the cabinet positions to put in place technocrats who are there for their technical and management skill rather than for any particular sectarian alignment. I think it's a very good sign. Also, I'd like to point to, just this week, we had a movement called Balad al-Salam, Country of Peace, which is a peace movement established by Iraqis. It was entirely their idea. We had nothing to do with it. And they've come out and essentially said, you know, enough to the sectarian violence, enough to al-Qaeda intimidation. And, oh, by the way, we'd be rather keen for Americans to go home when we're secure, but not quite yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is an independent movement of Iraqi civil society moving forward on their own pace towards reconciliation. So I think, you know, this is something that will happen. It won't necessarily happen on a U.S. electoral timeline, but it will happen.
You yourself are credited with using the phrase the long war. And I'm just wondering if one can have an elegant strategy. You've got some of the best minds there now working in counterinsurgency. Is this a matter of devising, say, a perfect chess strategy, but with public opinion being as against the war as it now quite openly is? Do you ever feel that perhaps the chessboard and the chess pieces are going to be removed?
Well, I think there's a reason why people in the United States are not happy with the progress of the war, and I think we have to be open about that. We have put in place what I believe is a sound strategy, and we have a good team. Is it too late? I don't think we're going to know that until we try to execute the strategy and we see how it turns out. And I think that for me to sit here and try and second guess what the political process is likely to be in the United States, you know, that's not my job. We're trying to do the best that we can, given the hand that we've been dealt. And then, rightly, in a democracy, it's up to the people to decide whether they want to keep doing that.
David Kilcullen is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Australian Army, and he is advising the U.S. commander in Iraq. He's been speaking to us from Baghdad. Thank you very, very much, David Kilcullen.
Thanks, Jackie.